What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on The Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me and Jesse are in separate locations today. I was a little upset because I like to do a show together, but I will tell you after what just happened, I am never going into the office again. You cannot hear the music or any of the drops if you're not on location. This is fantastic. Jesse did the whole stupid intro music. I couldn't hear a thing.
No, that's not good.
Jesse, how are you?
You need to be upset. I'm doing great, man. Doing really good. Feel great.
You sound like death.
Here's what we're going to do, though. We're not going to say the word. Here, I figured this out beforehand because I don't want a little warning on here, but I found a way to put it out there. Sometimes when I go have a beer, I typically prefer Dos Equis, but normally I would not have a Corona.
This is as painful as hearing the music, quite frankly.
I wouldn't have a Corona, but I did have a Corona. This is my second one. There we go. Now people know what's going on, and I didn't have to say it.
I hope Bill doesn't come in today because this is already off to a brutal start. Obviously, we're going to start off with some football stuff. We got a couple of releases to talk about, and Jason Flynn is here.
Yes, I'm excited. He is. Soccer Cards United guy. Did you have a good trip? You also went up to Boston and just immediately came right back. I haven't talked to you since then. Everything go okay? Is Daddy here?
You'll hear about that later. We're getting into sports first. This is a serious show in case Bill pops on.
Yeah.
Did you watch the games yesterday? Yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
What did you want to know about them?
Let me just tell you this. Absolutely insane to me. The overreaction to Brock Purdy losing. First of all,
anything less though? That's what was going to happen, right?
No, the hobby is full of clowns, but there needs to be, again, and it's not going to happen. A reasonable response would have been, hey, this dude got hurt. And then the third string guy came in, he got hurt. And then Brock has to go back in, still injured, against the team that had the best record in all of football this year. At home, by the way, for Philly. Brock Purdy had a phenomenal season. If you're the 49ers right now moving forward, you've got Brock Purdy and Trey Lance and one of the most, if not the most, talented roster in all of football, almost entirely signed up for the next couple of years. They are in a great spot. Their coach is a bit of a donkey. But for these overreactions about Brock Purdy, like if the market truly has dropped off, and Jesse will get the pricing in a little bit, don't sell your Brock Purdy cards. Like there's a real shot that this team comes back next year. He plays just as good as he did this year, and they're one of the best teams in football. So I don't hate the overreaction. I just don't need people going crazy now with it. Just relax. If you held to now because you thought he was going to the Super Bowl like I did, I wouldn't worry. I think you have nothing to worry about next year. He's still going to come in as one of the hottest commodity QBs to start off the 2023 season. Jesse Gibson, you're what a medicated, fuzzy, you know, Corona beer, Dos Equis thoughts that you'd like to share with the room, please.
To your point about the guys going off and saying all these things and that, the pricing does not reflect that, though. Like, obviously, there's still a lot of people who go with logic when they're spending actual cold hard cash, and that's what when I looked up pricing on autos specifically, I was looking up Mosaic Auto, his Mosaic Silver Auto. And I also pulled up his certified. I mean, over the last few weeks, I've been keeping like just a little tally of how that Mosaic Auto Silver has been going. I think it started around $430. It spiked up to 775, went back down to 600, back and forth a little bit. But now even after everything, it's still at $500, which is also like kind of a funny thing because I went to eBay sales. There is a sale in there from today. That $500 was late last night. So for that Mosaic Silver went for $500, but today there was one that went for $1,200, and I don't believe that. I'm not going with that sale, but there has been another sale on there that also went for $1,500 a couple days ago. Again, they're from different sellers, so it is still questionable on why that is, but it doesn't make sense. But let's just say it's 500. So still enough guys believing in this guy, because it's certified, that one did have an honest sale of $705. Now that's out of 149, but that's only dropped a little. Like the day before the game, that card was selling for 861. And now it's only down to 705.
Yeah. So the point is, Brock Purdy, I think people with a brain and who don't just spout off on social media all the time are just thinking, hey, this kid's still going to be really good. We're still getting in. Even though he's high, we're going to hold our stuff and move forward. I think that's a smart way to go with Purdy. The other loser yesterday was Joe Burrow. I mean, anybody dump it. Although, to the hobby's credit, which again, in general, noisy donkeys, this time I actually think there's been a reasonable response was, oh, the kid was tied with 10 seconds left in the game for his second consecutive AFC Championship game in Kansas City. I'm glad to see that I haven't heard any nonsense or almost zero nonsense about Joe Burrow. Same line of thought, though. If you have Joe Burrow stuff right now, I don't think there's any reason to sell it until next year. It's going to drop because the offseason's coming. Just wait and see what happens. Those are the losers. I'm more curious now about the win. I want to address that just because of how vocal people have been. But I think it's even more interesting, the winners. I mean, first off, you got a guy in Patrick Mahomes who could... I think this might be the, if he wins another Super Bowl, I think we may see another jump of his, which is great because he has consistently just come down for the last 8 to 10 months, which is wild. He's still the best quarterback in football, but people start to use this useless line of thinking like, oh, but he's still not Brady. He's not Montana yet. And so it's like his pricing kind of just fell with the market, which I thought was a little bit insane. But it's wild to me what's been happening. I know you looked up some stuff. I looked up a few different cards. There haven't been a ton of sales today, obviously. The game ended late last night. But at least half, if not more than half the stuff I looked at, almost zero movement over the past 7 days. So I looked up his all rookies, all PSA 10s, his 2017 score, 2017 elite draft picks, 2017 Donruss, that was a PSA 9. Same exact price as a week ago. The only one where there was significant movement was his 2017 Optic Holo, the rookies insert. There was a few sales of that last week and then two this week from like 500 up to 750 after the win. What did you see with Mahomes stuff?
There is a little bit of movement, not a lot. I pulled up like his 2017 Donruss Optic PSA 10. Now that card, like you said, it had been trading pretty flat. You know, and when we say flat, it's like percentage wise, because it was selling 938. It bumped up to a little over $1,000 over the last week and then stayed kind of within that range.
But, 1800, by the way, before the season.
Yeah. So since the win last night, that card did sell for 1150. So it did have a little bit of a jump.
So 10%.
Yeah. I mean, okay. But again, it's still not all that much. But again, I think people are needing to see now a win in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I am very curious what happens if he wins another Super Bowl and then what the offseason looks like. That's always another one of the things I find curious. Hey, he won a Super Bowl. Great. His pricing is awesome. And then what happens 3 weeks later when we're just in the midst of the offseason? The funny thing to me, though, not a ton of Mahomes sales because I think a lot of people are just high on him now anyways. Like, dude, he just beat Burrow, finally beats Burrow, even though he has a bum ankle. I guess people are thinking he's, if you strictly go by the hobby, I would say the majority of the people in the hobby think the Chiefs are going to win because almost no Mahomes sales relative to the amount of Jalen Hurts sales. If you look at sold listings of Jalen Hurts,
yeah,
it's incredible how many have sold in the last 18 hours.
But my only thinking on that is that no one has had any faith in Jalen Hurts, at least as far as sales go. Like his pricing would indicate that people don't really believe in him.
Which, yeah, and I think this is the same exact indication. Hey, there's a little bit of a bump because he's going to the Super Bowl. Let's just sell now. So I think he, by far, if you ask me one player with the most upside of either team, any position, it has to be Jalen Hurts. If Hurts wins, I think then there's no... And, like, I don't want to hear any more excuses either. Like, oh, well, they beat Danny Dimes. The whole thing about who people beat to get there is the most lame played-out argument in all of sports, by the way. He can't control who he plays. They had a bye because they were the best team in the regular season, so they deserve the bye. You play the Giants because, again, you are the best team. You have the highest seed, so you get to play the crappiest team. And then you beat, and I don't care that San Francisco didn't score. Like, that has nothing to do with Hurts. But he looked decent against that defense and didn't make any glaring mistakes. And that's a San Francisco defense is pretty good. Like, I don't know. I think this is going to be a shootout, and I think we're finally going to see Hurts get, like, the big win. But even him, like I said, the stuff that was selling of his in the last day, last 18 hours, not even full day, is so stupid cheap compared to Herbert, Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, compared to Purdy, of course. I mean, it's just wild to me.
He's still only barely above Herbert at this point. And I mean, that's after a drop in Herbert and a good rise in Jalen Hurts stuff. So
yeah, I don't get it.
It's kind of surprising. So,
and again, if you go just off what you were seeing for sales, people are just moving Jalen now because it's like, hey, this is our one chance to sell him off before he loses the Super Bowl and then goes off into the offseason. I guess that's possible, but I do. I think there's actually some pretty big upside with Jalen here, both either quarterback, because if Jalen wins, it finally solidifies it. He's a Super Bowl winner. Great. If Mahomes wins, it gets weird. Like, I know we're going to, and people are going to get crazy. Like, the Ringer is going to be absolutely covered the week after the Super Bowl in just ridiculous, overly stated legacy talk of Mahomes. But realistically, if he wins another Super Bowl, now you're talking 2 and 3 years. He's been to 3 Super Bowls, or 2 and 4 years, I guess. He's been to three Super Bowls at that point. I think he's had 4 or 5 AFC championship games. Like, it starts to get pretty ridiculous with him. For a kid who's like, what is Mahomes, 27 years old, 28 years old?
I'll look it up.
He's literally a child. Like, he does, in the MVPs, the regular season accolades already. He already has a resume that rivals, I don't know, everyone but 5 or 6 quarterbacks all time, probably. It's ridiculous.
Do you have a concern with him being injured, though?
I have no more concern with his injuries than I do with your injuries, so.
What? Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, yeah. My thing is that...
And he's got 2 weeks, bro. He's got a bye week. I know the ankle stinks, but he's got 2 weeks.
All right, well, then let's do this. You, last week, you called Kansas City and 49ers. You were 50% right. I called Bengals and Eagles. Bengals and...
Use your words. What is this fog? Get rid of your
someone
fog.
Someone called me out on saying it wrong last time, and now I can't remember how to say it the right way. How would you say it? Is it Bengals or Bengals?
I say the Bengals.
Okay, I'm going to say Bengals. The Bengals and Eagles were my picks. So again, 50%. At this point, who are you thinking? Kansas City, right? That's your choice?
Correct. I thought KC was going to lose to the Niners. I'll take KC. But I'm honestly thrilled either way at this point. I think it's great for Jalen if he wins. I think it's great for Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Like, there's actually a few guys. Pacheco, I don't know how to say his name. Isaac, the running back for KC. Like, his numbers are finally starting to move. On the other side with Philly, obviously Jalen would be a great, it'd be an awesome thing for him to win a Super Bowl. AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. I'm actually very excited for the hobby either way, because I think it would be a nice, you know, either a cementing of Mahomes, which is already cemented, or a validation of Jalen, which I think would be awesome. So I'm actually excited. I thought the Chiefs-Bengals game was awesome. I hate referee. This is more sports than real talk, like hobby talk.
Let's talk about the guy who bangled the Bengals last play.
Bangled it up. First of all, the people saying that like the refs were lopsided in that game, I watched the whole game. I thought it was pretty good both ways. The last play, by the way, like there's no discussion. That was the most, like, the guy was out of bounds 6 feet. Why would you touch him?
Yeah.
However,
did you see him crying? Like, literally, like, boo-hoo crying on the side. I felt bad for him afterward, but man, that is...
Whoa. And the flip side is, too, though, let's not act either like, oh, Mahomes had no chance. Like, you can't tell me with one more play left to go, Mahomes couldn't go down 15 or 20 yards. We've seen that so many times. Even if that penalty doesn't happen, I'm not so sure they don't win that game. So, it's a little bit overstated, but it was a tough penalty. It was the correct call, by the way. No question. So...
What's the line, by the way, on the Super Bowl? Do we know yet?
Pull up ESPN. You might be able to find it on odds. There. I don't know if there's even a line yet.
Okay. I am going Eagles, by the way. You didn't ask, but I'm going Eagles, so.
I think the Chiefs are probably going to be a 3-point. I'm going to say 3.5-point point favorite right now.
Carlos, who do you think is going to win?
Who do I think is going to win? The Chiefs. I'm done betting against Mahomes. That might tell you what my betting was last night.
Oh, yeah. You followed Jesse last week into the death, didn't you?
He did a 50-50 as well. He got half of them, right? You said it's on. Oh, let me see. I'm looking up the odds right now.
It's amazing while you're doing that. You don't have to keep talking about how you can't find it. I did want to comment, though.
The Eagles are 1.5-point favorites on FanDuel.
What?
That's...
Interesting. Also, again, just for the audience, I'm on Zoom today. I'm at home because Jesse is infected in every part of his body. I am watching the Zoom, though, of Jesse sitting at the desk. It is amazing to me how disgusting your side of the desk looks on Zoom compared to my side. It makes me happy.
Well, right now, I've got tissue boxes out
here.
No,
just all the crap.
Granted, that's the only thing different than I would normally have.
And
okay, you get rid of the tissue box. It doesn't look as bad.
It looks much better. Your hands look bigger on Zoom than they do in person, which I did not think was possible.
Oh, God.
Okay,
you know what? This is great. How was your trip down with your dad? Your dad lives here now. He's a Tennessee boy.
I'll get to it. Stop trying to rush my family news. I have one more thing I have to talk about, real brief, and I'll be done.
Okay.
People often ask, not us, but just in general, why does LeBron get all the hate he gets?
Oh, we're just switching sports, bro? No, that, man, yep. Talk about segues. You could have said that and then got into, because I've got more basketball stuff. Fine. Go basketball.
You have more basketball stuff? Okay, what is it?
I got stuff I wanted to talk about.
Go ahead.
How about the fact that the Celtics are taking the lead right now in the Eastern Conference? How about the fact that...
Hang on. The Celtics have been in the lead the last, 8 weeks, so...
Yeah, but now they're, 4 games ahead of second place. Okay. So I'm just... They are pushing very hard. They had a killer win against LeBron and the Lakers the other day. LeBron played phenomenally, but...
They were handed the win. This is the reason people hate LeBron, though. Last play of the game, LeBron drives to the basket. It was the most clear hack in the history of mankind. He should have gone to the line with a second or two left and won the game. The refs totally, I don't know how you missed the call. The ref was looking right at Tatum when he slapped LeBron's arm. That is a total just garbage referee call, miscall, whatever. It's terrible, inexcusable, indefensible, whatever you want to say. The reason people hate LeBron, though, is what happens after that. He falls to his knees and is practically in tears. I get you missed the call. You're getting ready to go into overtime. He just comes across as such a spineless, unlikable person. And then Patrick Beverley's going nuts because he's following his leader, LeBron. He walks out on the court with a camera. Dude, have some composure. You're tied. You played a better fourth than the Celtics by and large. You easily could have beat that team in overtime. And instead, you totally just mentally fold. And LeBron has to be helped to his feet because he's just in such shock and awe he didn't get a call. Dude, it's miserable you missed the call. But it's moments like that when I look and I go, the first thing that comes to my mind, Michael, Larry, and Kobe. Those three players, if that they missed that call going into overtime, they look at the ref. And the whole mindset is, you know what? In the next 5-minute period, this overtime period, I'm not leaving in your hands. I'm coming out. I'm ripping out the throat of every one of my opponents. I'm dominating the ball offensively, and I'm going to the hoop every time. Those kind of guys with that killer instinct, it's over. You go into overtime after you've just, taken advantage of a missed call, they're just going to rip your head off. That's it. That is my whole filibuster on LeBron. That's why people can't stand him, myself included. I felt bad for the guy until I see him just weeping like a child on his knees in the Boston Garden when you have a whole overtime period that's about to start.
You know, it's funny you say that, but one of the points I was going to make later on in the show was a little auction update, and LeBron's finals jersey just sold for 6 times more than any other jersey of his has sold for before. $3.7 million.
Is it tear stained? Soaked in his own crying?
It may very well have been. But granted, it is the third highest selling jersey of all time.
Babe Ruth, Jackie Robinson.
For NBA. NBA jersey. Michael Jordan was number one. I don't remember who the second is. But yeah, obviously there is still some love for LeBron, at least for the investment purposes. Maybe people just think he's worth money and they don't like his personality.
And he is, by the way. I still think he's a top three player of all time. I just can't stand watching him. It's so brutal to watch. It's just pathetic. What is your other note here, by the way? You have a LeBron jersey and you have Mickey Mantle SGC8.
Oh, yeah. So that one was, the fact that another record sale for an SGC8 Mickey Mantle card went for $600,000. A few years ago was the last time SGC8 sold. What year was the card?
Yeah.
It's a 1952. It's the 1952 Topps Mantle.
And how much did it sell for?
$600,000 for an SGC8. The last one sold, I believe...
We're missing something, bud. The last one sold for $12.5 million.
Nope, not for an SGC8. You're thinking of a 9.5. SGC 9-5. You are. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem.
Maybe I have fog brain. Could I say that at least?
Do you see how I corrected you in a very kind and compassionate way? I'm and then just
you
saying.
Wasted time with my audience just going over how you corrected
with my audience. Oh my God, the conceitedness. I'm so glad we're not in the same
room. Is that a word?
The last, yes, of course it is. Because I said it is.
You can be conceited. Can you have conceit?
7 years ago, card sold for $270 million, over 100% increase, obviously.
I don't think it sold for $270 million, but I'm going to correct you kindly.
$274,000.
Okay.
Excuse me. $274,000. So obviously a nice bump over 7 years, 118% increase. So there was a few others that sold as well at this auction with Heritage. There was also a Mickey Mantle signed card. I didn't know. There's only 10 signed of that same 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle card. There's only 10 to be known in existence. This is a PSA 2, but the auto is a 10, sold for $288,000. Pretty insane.
That's actually lower than I would have thought. Which is a ton of money. I'm actually surprised it didn't sell for more.
Maybe the fact that it's a 2. I don't know. I mean, the card is obviously not in great shape, but man, I've seen some worse graded cards. I mean, I don't know. What does a 2 go for, actually? You don't have it up. I'll pull it up real quick.
I'm going to say 75,000.
75,000. PSA 2.
1952 Topps. PSA 2 Mantle. I'm going to say goes for 75.
Last sold in November for 50,000.
Okay.
And the one before that was in October for 32,000. So, yeah. I mean, the fact that it went up to 288,000, there was a few that sold in the 30 to 37,000 range in that last year. But yeah, kind of insane. And the fact that it's 288 with a signature, yeah, the fact that there's less than 10 known, I actually do think it could be worth more. Maybe that's why that guy bought it.
Pretty cool. All right. I mean, we got Jason coming in just a minute, so I don't even think we get into release week until he comes.
That's fine. I do have a cautionary tale unless you have something else you want to throw in there.
Don't lick doorknobs? What is it?
Why is that a cautionary tale? No, it was just an interesting story about a card collector who is also a federal agent.
Michael Scarn.
So this guy worked for Homeland Security. He was out of Phoenix, Arizona. He, for a time, between November 2019 and October 2021, he was using he had a lot of downtime in a company car. So he was using his car to drive for Uber and Lyft and things like that, making money on the side. First off, that's a no-no. Don't do that. But then he was taking that money and he said he was doing this because he had a problem with buying cards. Whether you call that investing, collecting, gambling, whatever you would say in his case, he had a problem with it. And he was obviously in the wrong for cheating the government thousands and thousands of dollars. He is now going to be under probation. He owes a lot of money back to the state and I guess the federal government. But this is something that I think we've seen even on the app is like people will occasionally reach out and be like, hey, can you just shut down my account for a little while?
Oh, yeah, it's happened a bunch.
Just because I never realized this until later getting into cards. It's probably like over a year or something from the time we started the podcast was that people have a problem, like a real addiction with buying cards. So yeah, just a cautionary tale. Like, hey, if you think you're spending too much, if you think you're having to cheat your job or the government to buy more cards, maybe take a break for a little bit.
Okay. Sound advice. I like that.
You have so much you could add to that. Nope. Whatever.
I don't know. It is I do that just to make you angry. It always makes me so happy.
Another thing
that's better about being home, seeing you get angry is even better when I'm not in front of you because you can't even fully.
Do you know Sean Nelson? Do you know there's a big possibility that there are people out there who've bought or sold from this guy, Sean Nelson. That's his name.
Just curious. Them. Nice job. People used to do this in the Facebook group though, in the break group. Like, hey, do me a favor, like block me from the group for a month. I've got bills or stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like anything else. You have in moderation. You should only be using expendable income, but you know, guys are gonna chase and the gambling mentality, the addictive mentality. Yeah, it's absolutely a real thing, no question. All right, well, let's just Let's wait. We'll get to Jason Flynn, Soccer Cards United. We have a couple questions for him from the mailbag. Find out just brief. It's going to be a short visit. There's no World Cup happening.
So. We actually have a lot of questions for him from mailbag.
All right, we have a couple. This is not crazy. So Jason Flynn, and then we'll get back with some release week and some concluding questions and comments.
Jason Flynn is here with us in the studio. Thank you so much, Jason.
Look at him waving. Look at the unbridled enthusiasm from Jason.
I would like to say that this is maybe the first time in a very long time that Jason hasn't joined us where we're both in this studio. Now it's three people on Zoom. I'm very curious how this works. I don't remember the last time we did an interview where all three were on Zoom. Are you conscious of
we just got his reaction, how he thinks it's going to go. He got, that was good.
Well, no, I tell you what I think. Is okay. I actually feel a bit better. It feels like a more welcoming environment because oftentimes when you're both in the studio, I feel like it's hard for me to get in there, you know?
Why don't you start showing up in person for these appearances?
Yeah.
It's been like a year. What are we doing here?
Laziness, isn't it? You know, it's a work shy mentality.
Jason's wearing a very orange shirt. It's very bright and I love it. I don't know why I felt the need to comment on it, but I do. I wish people could see it.
I should be wearing this shirt. It's a terrible color. I just recorded a whole other video podcast and I'm like, is there any way I can change the color of my shirt in post-production? Because it just doesn't match my skin. It washes me out. You know?
It does kind of. Yeah. That was the thing with the red hair, the Irishness. Yeah. It's kind of.
I have to wear dark colors, but no, I refuse.
I wear dark colors because it makes me look thinner. So we both have to do our own thing, I guess.
Did someone tell you that or? How did that come up?
I'm wearing dark gloves.
You're doing Jason, great.
Why,
great.
Jason literally turned from the microphone to cover his laughter. All right, Jason, didn't cover it well enough.
We have to get into this. What is going on in the world of soccer right now? Release. I mean, there's no World Cup right now. What is happening? Why are you on the show this week? What's going on here?
Well, it's actually been a very exciting week for soccer product announcements.
I don't know if he's doing this on purpose, but he goes in the most monotone, joyless voice I've ever heard. He goes,
"It's very
actually been a very exciting week." And
what was that accent?
No, I'm excited. I'm just Zoom is throwing me off. Jesse's on the verge of death, and Jason has excitement in his words, but not his tone. Okay, we're good. I'm done. I'm not going to interrupt again. Very exciting week in soccer. Jason, take it away.
Very exciting week. I'll start off in France, where we've had a Panini Score product announcement for Ligue 1, which is the Premier League in France. We've been calling in the soccer community to have a premium, or well, in Score's case, kind of like semi-premium, at least American-style trading card collection for French football for a long time. And because the French League tends to produce a disproportionate amount of players who go on to become major stars in other leagues. It's kind of like they call it, they nickname themselves and market the league as the League of Talents. It's kind of a great development league. So we've wanted to have something more than just Panini stickers for all of the rookies that come out of there. And they had this year, they had something called Panini FC, which is kind of, I think Panini France managed that collection in-house. And it was almost a full trading card collection, but wasn't quite. I think there was maybe one parallel variation or two parallel variations. But this is moving towards a genuine trading card collection with Score. So I would hope that if Score is a success and if Ligue 1 Score sells well, we should be able to get stuff like Mosaic or, you know, get it included in a Chronicles collection or something like that. So that's very exciting to finally have a proper trading card collection for the French League.
Nice. When does that, has it already released or no?
No, it was just announced. I'm actually not sure when it's coming out. They just put the checklist up on PaniniAmerica.net. Which is exciting.
Would you view this as like a good investable product since it is the like a first type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, if it was the only French, if it was the only French football card collection that came out this year, then there might be a rookie or two. Like Eli Wahi is a rookie from Montpellier who's scoring a lot of goals, young guy. If his only rookie releases were say a Panini sticker and then a Score card. Then there's no reason a PSA 10 of that rookie couldn't be accepted as his main rookie going forward. But for me, I'm more excited about not necessarily this product or this year of this product, but just the idea that we might have the French League in play and that if you're a rookie in France, we won't have to wait a year or a year and a half until you have like a proper collectible rookie, especially as, you know, the American market would see it, like a Prism or something or Select or something.
Okay, so that's score product. Isn't there something else? The mailbag kept mentioning Revolution.
Yeah, Revolution is coming out. Revolution is an interesting one. It's, I believe, a Tmall product in Asia, an Asian product, maybe. But Revolution has come out before for soccer. One of Christian Pulisic's early cards, maybe even one of his rookies, is a Revolution card. I don't know why. Maybe it's the stock it's printed on. Maybe it's its place in the market. But Revolution doesn't seem to necessarily ever take off in terms of single prices. So I would say for Revolution, it's a fun rip. If you want to rip soccer, get some Revolution. But as an investment, I wouldn't go too far into it.
It's kind of the same as like Revolution basketball. And even when they did football for a while, just never. Like the Galactic does huge money in basketball, the one case hit insert. But other than that, it was always like, yeah, very, very average, which keeps the box price down. So I don't hate it. But yeah, it's not like one of those really sought after products here either.
Looks like it comes out on February 22nd, selling for like $200 a box.
Is that Groundhog Day?
No, that. February 2nd is, this is February 22nd.
Oh, okay.
So, thank you.
Underrated now, movie, by the way. Bill
is
Murray.
It underrated? I feel like everyone loves that movie. Do you like that movie, Jason?
Yep, I do. I saw it for the first time over the pandemic, and I loved it. A lot of Bill Murray movies, when you look at them now, he's just like a completely terrible person. Like in the 80s, every Hollywood hero was just a terrible person. And now, you would never be able to, like, if he acted how he acts in Bill Murray movies from the 80s, now he would be the villain in every movie.
That's fair, yeah. He and Chevy Chase really, they were great, but in actuality, maybe not as great.
This is why I like Bill Murray. I relate to him.
All right, so any news ever since, I think the last time we had you on was right before the end of the World Cup. Any big results that came out of there? I mean, obviously Messi cards went through the roof, but anybody else that popped off that you weren't expecting, anything like that?
Yeah, a couple. Argentina in general just had so many eyes on them. So the likes of Julian Alvarez and Enzo Fernandez, midfielder for Argentina, he won young player of the tournament at the World Cup and has been subject to a lot of transfer interest in this January transfer window in European soccer. And I believe Chelsea in the Premier League just put in a 120 million euro. So that's about the same in dollars, maybe $130 million bid for this guy, who is a rookie in releases this year for UEFA releases from tops. He's a rookie, Enzo Fernandez. And they think Chelsea bid, about 120 million euros, which would make him the most expensive acquisition in the history of British football. So he'd be the most expensive player ever brought into the Premier League. So he's very, very highly rated. Now, the thing about midfielders is they can be fantastic and they can be like generational talents. But it's hard for their prices to stay up outside of big moments in big finals or big transfers. It's hard for their prices to maintain just because they're not scoring goals. And most of the time, people aren't going to see every single match. So you're just going to flick on, say that you're going to have an app on your phone. You're going to look, who's the top scorer in the league this week? This guy, okay. If it's a midfielder, it's not going to be him most likely. But Enzo Fernandez is a fantastic young player. His prices have done well since the World Cup.
I was going to say too, I didn't notice this when we were just now talking about Revolution, but it looks like on the same day, currently Panini's planning to release the Panini Prism Premier League hobby box, which I imagine would be a much more popular product, only $300 a box. Would you say so?
Yeah, actually, Panini Prism this year. So there's a team in the Premier League called Brighton, and Brighton have a young Irish player called Evan Ferguson, who has been playing fantastically well for them this season and scoring goals against big teams and important goals as well. And he's kind of the first major Irish rookie since I've gotten into the hobby, or maybe since the hobby kind of started in terms of premium soccer cards. And I think he's probably just he's come to prominence a little bit too late to make it into the Prism checklist. So I'm really hoping if anyone from Panini America is listening, please make sure Evan Ferguson makes it into every Premier League release from now on. I'll give you a pass on Prism because it's very soon. Him and also another Brighton player, Japanese player called Mitoma, is fantastic as well. So if you're looking for a cheap, fun break spot in Premier League Prism, you could do worse than pick up Brighton Hove Albion, a couple of high potential players.
I don't know what you last said because the name confounded me, but it sounded like he's a good player and we should invest in him. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, good.
This is going well. Yep.
Do you have any questions, Mike, before we go mailbag questions? Because there's a lot.
Let's go mailbag. We got a bunch in there. Rather than me and you continue to butcher questions, let's just go right to the source.
I love that idea. First off, how's Enzo?
He's good. He actually said to me to pass on the message that he saw something about a grading company that was being spammed in the Facebook group. And he very much enjoyed Mike's treatment of that.
Wait, did you go live?
I like the fact that the people in the Facebook group thought I wasn't going to go nuts on these people for trying to spam for free in the Facebook group. Like, if you come on like and act like a donkey, you're going to get called out for it. Those are the rules of the group.
Did you do a live? I didn't even see
it. No, I made a post. I had like 500 likes and comments within like 2 hours. It's like one of the highest engaged posts of the month in the group by far.
That's good. Funny. All right. So
I like Enzo. He's good. I didn't before. I do now. He says a nice thing about me.
Jeremy Byers would like to know. He asked me to do it in your accent, Jason, but no, that's not a possibility. I can't do Irish accents, and I apologize for that, people. What do you think is the best storyline going? God, freaking A. I'm so sorry.
That's about the baseball season, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And there's so many Jason questions. I didn't have a way to differentiate, and I thought that was.
But
one
he wanted
of them.
Me to do it. He wanted you to do that in baseball Jason question accent. In my accent.
Exactly. Correct. That's why it really threw me off. I apologize. Well,
all right, let's go appeal.
For
see, Jason. You see the smugness with him today? It's like a quiet smugness that I enjoy. This is not
he
bad.
He was on the news, bro. Last time we had him on, he just came
it's
off.
It's gone to
the
his
news.
Head. Now he's just slumming with us. Before, this was the big network. Now he's been on the news. Oh, man. He puts on a crap shirt to wear. He doesn't really care.
Oh,
about
my
the,
God.
I'm telling you. He's packed it in.
Crap shirt. It's not a crap shirt.
He would agree. It's a crap shirt.
It's not a great shirt.
It's an orange shirt. Franco Caliz wants to know, do we expect prices for McKinney to crater now that he's gone? Oh man, from Juve to Leeds? Does that
Juve to Leeds? Yeah, Juve. Juventus. Yep. Well, it's interesting because I actually asked this question of people on Twitter recently. Because so you've gone from Juventus, who are a top Italian club, that basically means he's playing in the Champions League, the UEFA Champions League every season. Now, Juventus have just been embroiled in a huge kind of financial scandal and have suffered a points deduction, which means they probably won't be in Europe, in European competition next season, which is why they had to sell some of their prize assets like Weston McKennie, who's now gone to Leeds. I actually think this is going to do fine for his prices. Juventus weren't doing anything much in the Champions League anyway. Leeds are kind of building an American following because their manager, Jesse Marsh, is an American. They have Tyler Adams, people wouldn't have seen in the World Cup. They have, who else do they have? Brendan Aaronson, young midfielder as well. And now Weston McKennie. So they're slowly building this kind of Leeds America thing. So I think it's good for Weston McKennie's prices. People say Leeds are bottom half club of the Premier League. Doesn't matter. The Premier League is still the most watched league in the world. So if you have Weston McKennie cards, you're not going to get rich overnight, but you know, it's not, you're in no worse a position, in my opinion.
Okay, cool. Rohundel wants to know, would you rather buy a rookie card from a player's domestic league or their World Cup rookie card? That's a good question.
I think it depends on the distance between those two. So we've seen, like with, say, Gavi for Barcelona, he had his rookie in 2021-22. And then he also had rookie logo on his World Cup prism. Now, for me, that's a little bit too far. There's like, say, a, you know, 6 month gap, 8 month gap, something like that. That's too far for me. But if it's the same year, if you have the same year that it happens, like someone like Enzo Fernandez, say, has his rookie cards for his club, Benfica, this season, and in the middle of this season, the World Cup happened, I think the World Cup cards are always going to be better. But sometimes Panini tend to, you know, take some liberties and have a World Cup rookie card when the player's been playing for a year and a half, 2 years.
I'd be curious what happens with that score for the French league then, because those guys could have rookie cards in there that wouldn't have a big rookie for another year or two, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing where, like, we previously had that with guys in France for Panini stickers. And the thing about Panini stickers is even in a PSA 10, they're mass produced and they do take, like, their prices are fine compared to how cheap stickers cost. But there's just a limited collector base for Panini stickers. So you need something where it's like, this is a 1 of 10, this is a 1 of 1. That's like a saleable asset.
There was like a kid who pulled, I think, the Messi, I believe it was a 1 of 1 sticker There was a story Panini did or something. I can't remember how much it was, but I think it was like, I think it went for six figures or something like that. Kind of.
Yeah. So for Panini America, they've for the first time put in parallels for this year's World Cup collection, but only in the American edition. And so if you were buying Panini stickers for the World Cup where I am, you couldn't get parallels, but you could in America. And I actually think they kind of got that the wrong way around. I think the international market could have used that instead of the American market, because the American market is already into cards. But it's just kind of goes to show that once you've kind of opened the box on parallels, you can't, everything else kind of looks boring in comparison, you know? So
I agree. I'm kind of surprised they didn't put that out internationally. I thought that would have been a hot market, especially because there was that 60 minute. I don't know if you saw that 60 minute segment that they did, where they basically interviewed a lot of people who collect the stickers, and the international, it wasn't based on US stickers. It was all based on the international ones, but I guess that's done by a different company, right? Well, technically it's like Panini Italy or whatever.
Panini Group. Yeah. So yeah. I think the thing is, the Panini America guys just did it in the US because that's, they can control that manufacturing process. So they weren't able to make stickers with parallels for the whole world. They just needed to make a small amount of them for the US.
All right. Jason Tennant would like to know, Jason, how much interest do you see in non-Pele vintage cards and or stickers? I'm thinking of players like Franz Beckenbauer or Johan Cruyff?
Cruyff, yeah.
Whoa, hang on a second, Jason. Did you practice the names?
I didn't, but I did see, also curious to hear how Jesse pronounces those names. How close did I get?
I mean, pretty much bang on.
I don't like this. I don't.
You got nervous towards the end of Johan Cruyff.
I did.
Beckenbauer was perfect first time.
I don't care for this at all. Okay, that sorry. Go ahead, Jason.
Good.
I think vintage has been mostly insulated from like recent dips in the market and everything, because there is no way for the manufacturers to really get at and ruin the price of vintage cards, you know? So as interest in soccer grows, there's always going to be vintage collectors that get into soccer and then start hunting for vintage. So the likes of Beckenbauer, Johan Cruyff, Eusebio, guys like that, who are kind of all-time greats, they're really, really good long-term assets. You know, I don't think they're never going to be a quick flip, but you could do a lot worse than putting your money into vintage if you wanted to invest in soccer with, like I say, 10 to 20 year horizon as opposed to a 10 to 20 month horizon.
Tony Rodriguez wants to know, what will it take for the US to get more interested in soccer year round and not just for the World Cup?
I personally think the MLS. I think the MLS is the key, how that's marketed. I mean, we've seen with stuff like Ted Lasso being a big hit on TV, the Welcome to Wrexham series that Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney did, where they bought a Welsh football club, and that's been huge in the States, been a huge hit. And there's a lot of interest now in Wrexham, which is a tiny football club in Wales. But because these two, you know, TV and movie stars bought it, there's big interest. So that whole myth of Americans won't watch it unless it's the top of the sport, that's kind of been debunked. We just know that's not true. So that kind of gets rid of an excuse that the MLS has used, which is like, well, we can't expect people to watch this because these are not the best players in the world. For me, they have to do a better job at reaching out to their local communities and giving the city or the state or wherever the football club is based, giving that kind of to the fans and to the people and saying, you own this. This is a community asset. What do you want to do with it? I don't think it'll work if you use the like franchise model and enforce it on people. I think you have to make a real investment and say, because soccer is like a community sport. That's where it's based in grassroots. So you have to let people over time identify with it. Then once that's there, the emotional connections are built, and then the sport kind of comes secondary to that, I think.
You know, what's funny is that we have a soccer team here in Nashville now, and you know, maybe it coincides with the fact that we're doing the podcast and we have you on, but I will say I feel more of a connection to the sport knowing that I have a local team that I could support, as opposed to, you know, if there was nothing around here. So the whole community aspect, I do think there's some a valid point to that.
If you want to get into soccer, people often ask like, what's the best way to get into soccer? Go and see a soccer match. Like there are so many, if you're in the States, there are so many MLS teams. If there's not an MLS team, there'll be a NWSL, or there'll be an ASL. There's always soccer being played all around. So like, just go and see a match. That is the easiest way to get into it. If you if you happen to live within an hour or two of a stadium, go see a game.
Let me hit you with a couple. I mean, honestly, we could probably go another 10, 15 minutes on this, but let me just hit a couple more questions. Andre Boulay. I often mispronounce this guy's name and he spelled it out for me. Thank you. He says, what's the crack? I Googled this. It's spelled C-R-A-I-C. This is like a Gaelic term. Are you familiar? If I said that to you, you know what that means?
Yeah. What's the crack means? How are you?
Oh.
Or what's going on? What's the story?
Ooh, look at this. Our audience is well-versed in the Gaelic language. I love that. Andre wants to know, what's the best strategy for 2022 World Cup Prism singles and hobby boxes?
What's the best strategy for them? I think if you have hobby boxes sealed, I would say keep them sealed because, you know, there's really... The advice for premium wax, especially World Cup Prism, which isn't printed every year, can necessarily only be printed every 4 years. Like that's gonna maintain its value. Like in 2026, like okay, the 2022 print run for Prism looks big now compared to 2018, but in 2026, the 2022 print run's gonna look big, you know, gonna look small on all that stuff. For singles, I think you have to just be keep your singles organized and ready to go. I mean, soccer is very like there's a lot of games played. And it's a very fickle sport. So if someone has one good week or two good weeks, you want to be ready to cash in on that. You don't want to be going like in 6 weeks' time, oh yeah, he scored and no, but they're out of the competition now. You know, you need to be like ready to go. So for your singles, do your research on the players and make sure you have either like, I don't know, like draft eBay listings or I don't know if you use consignment service, like make sure it's all there ready to go. And then download an app like Soccerway or FootMob or something like that and get some like alerts going for those players. If they do anything, sell your singles at like local peaks. Don't like wait for global trends. Just if it's a local peak for me, sell it. Keep the wax sealed.
Do you still have any, I'm just curious. We talked about this a little bit. You had some World Cup wax. I don't remember if you ended up selling it or not. I believe Mike ended up selling his, but last I checked, I think in America it's down to $450 a box. Which, when I say down, I think that may have been close to where it started. Right?
It was like $400 to start. I sold out at $5,800, just under $500 a box.
Oh, $500 a box. Good.
I mean, it's kind of gone. It's gone above $500 a box a couple of times, and it went down to it went like back down to $400, and even dipped a little bit below that at a certain point as well. Now it's steadied, so we still have, I think, I don't know, two cases and a couple of loose boxes of it. And it's kind of just one of those things where like, if someone wanted to buy it off us for market price, we'd sell it. I don't think it's a good hold, but it's not like a grail hold. It's not like, I think in, you know, the one thing is Messi won the World Cup in 2022. So his Prism cards 2022 now have a meaning. If he hadn't won it, you know, it would have been a real, I don't think we'd be at $450. I think we'd probably be at like $350 or something like that for the sealed box.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Last question then. And I apologize if I didn't get to y'all's other ones, but killer.
You can ask me
job.
Later. I'll take care of them.
Thank you, Mike. Yep. Mauricio. Oh boy.
This Mauricio is the Alchemy Wizard, my buddy from the app. Santillion.
Santillion. Okay. Wants to know, with the Champion League starting back up, do you think the soccer market will get a bump? Seems like the World Cup gave it a nice one, but has just steadily gone the way of the rest of the market down. Also, who are the rookies to look out for in the Champion League?
Yeah, so we usually, without the World Cup in a soccer season, we get some interest at the start of the season, and then most of the business end takes place like pretty much directly corresponding to the football. So April and May. So at the end, once the Champions League restarts in February, it's not going to, you know, suddenly spike back up, but there'll be a slow build over time. And then ending up kind of with the month of May when you have the Champions League final, you have all the leagues ending and that sort of thing. So yeah, we're going to get a bump, but not a dramatic one anytime soon. Just hang on. It'll be May like it always is. The World Cup gave us a kind of like a bonus thing and kind of like distorted the market because we had this weird spike in the middle where you wouldn't usually have one. But forgetting the World Cup, our traditional peak in soccer is April and May.
I am curious, as far as the card market goes in Ireland/Europe, what would you say, how would you say it's going right now?
It's going really well. I mean, it's in terms of individual card prices and wax prices, they're not sky high. But like for us, we're not at the stage of the market where that's the priority. We just need to get kind of cards in people's hands. 2022 in Europe was like the year of the card show. We just started seeing card shows popping up all over the place. And we're putting our calendar together for 2023, and it's even more so.
Oh, cool.
So I think we need like maybe 2 years or 3 years of consistent card shows in, you know, in the UK, in Ireland, in Germany, in France, in Spain, wherever. And over time, those card shows become like the hubs, because you have to have somewhere to sell the cards. That's our biggest problem at the minute, is like Americans don't necessarily want to buy from Europe. There's not a lot of liquidity in Europe to buy from each other online. But all of a sudden, when it's at card shows, people can do trade deals, people can do cash deals, and kind of greases the wheels a little bit. So we're still very much in a growth phase here.
Do you have a card show that you're going to be going to in the next month? Because we do still plan on trying to have you on once a month, just kind of not only for a soccer card take, but I think it's fun to have like an international take on the card market.
Yeah, we're going to the London Card Show, which you've been to a few times, on February 11th and 12th.
Nice.
We're there. And we're actually doing this thing with Tops UK are having, like, doing like a content thing, and we're hosting a live panel with those guys.
Oh, very cool.
We're going to try and ask, we asked, you know, people to send in questions. And then of course people send in loads of questions that we could never ask on stage. But we're going to do our best with that.
Tops is doing it, but they don't put out a soccer card product, do they?
They do.
Yeah, they put out
Tops Chrome Champions League, all that stuff.
Yeah. Bundesliga.
Oh, Bundesliga, yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, we look forward to hearing about that show and whatever else is going on towards the end of February.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys. Am I closing the segment, or are you closing the segment?
Honestly, we've checked out minutes ago. So yeah, we're good to go. Jason, thank you for coming on as always,
don't
buddy.
Include we. I've been here. You've been over there doing whatever you do.
We'll have you back very soon to hear about this London card show.
Okay. Talk to you later, guys.
All right, buddy. We'll see ya.
See you, man.
So there you go. Jason Flynn, Soccer Cards United, taking over the UK now, apparently, with his Tops panel. I like that.
That's very cool.
Couple quick notes on release week, mailbag questions, and I am getting off the air. I drove from Boston, Massachusetts. Actually, that's not true. An hour north, Manchester, New Hampshire, in a 22-foot Penske truck. We loaded up the stupid thing on Friday, left out Saturday morning, drove about 12 hours, crashed at a hotel, took off yesterday, 7 in the morning, drove another 8.5 hours, got home yesterday, unloaded the old man and his brother, my father and uncle, respectively. And now I'm having to deal with how do we get cable service and how do I, my dad, huge development.
I love that
actually.
Both your parents don't seem to know how cable and internet things work. Like
huge development though. My dad now knows how to use the Maps app on his phone. So I programmed in home. I was like, anywhere you are, you hit the home button. Bro. He got from his house on Plumlee to my house on Trail East yesterday by himself.
Why are you giving out your addresses to
people? Just a street name, sweetheart. Take a breath.
They already know the city we live in.
Pretty exciting. Two new releases. 2023 Topps Gilded. Ooh, is it 23 or is it 22? I don't remember. We've talked about 22. This a little bit. It's a new high-end product. It's kind of like a mix between, at least in looks, of like a Triple Threads and a Transcendent almost. It comes out Wednesday,
yes,
the 1st. I think it's about $400. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
A couple autographs per. I'm very interested. I tell you what's going to be a huge differentiator for this is the quality control. If it's a mess like Finest on a high-end product, you're going to see people reject this thing hardcore. If it comes out and looks as good in person as it looks on the images they've released, I think it's actually going to do really well. And the price, although expensive, is not totally egregious. I am withholding my rating until I see the quality, the QC on it, though.
If it is good to standard quality,
B to B plus.
Okay.
The checklist is loaded. The rookies are going to sell for a ton of money. I like it. Again, you're talking about like Triple Threads money, though. So we got to see the resale value as well. So I'm withholding my rating. Do not try to get it out of me.
You already said B2B plus.
Is it wrong that I'm rooting for the virus? Is that wrong?
Don't say that word. Beer.
The B word? Okay.
For the beer. Are you saying that for a break or for buying a box? I'm just curious.
No, since there are only five cards a box. It's too expensive for a personal.
Okay. All right, yep. Cool.
The next one, I hope I'm seeing this wrong. It's 2022 Zenith football. Yes. This was a product back in the day. A plus on in terms of aesthetics, the look of it. It's actually an awesome looking product.
I'm surprised you were going to say, I thought it looked awesome too. I just thought it was going to be too flashy for you. Okay.
That makes me hate it now that we agree. But yes, I think I do. I thought it looked really, really cool. Almost like Illusions last week too, I thought was like a really good looking product. Here's the only issue, and this could just be that they haven't released the full checklist yet. I don't see Brock Purdy on the checklist anywhere. Not autographs, not base, not anywhere. I don't know if that's correct, though. So I did look around a little bit, though.
Text Jeff real quick. Text him, and then we'll update people.
Oh, yeah, good call.
I mean, he probably won't get back in time before we end recording, but who knows? That would be, but that's probably a big game changer, obviously. $300 a box. There's only 6 cards per pack. 1 pack per box. Obviously a very, I would guess you would say this is also breaks, not buying a personal.
Yeah. I mean, cause again, it's a rookie heavy. It probably tends to lean toward the rookie. You know, you're talking 75% compared to the vet stuff. Whereas Illusions was a little bit more 50-50 with this class. If no Purdy, I don't like it at all for a personal. Like I'd be like a C minus because of the price, even a D. To break, though, I still think you have a bunch of like other talent. The rookie talent's still good. I think some of these inserts are going to sell pretty well. So without Purdy, I'm probably a B on it. I was actually higher on this, though, when I just thought it was going to be regular. Hey, at least we'll have Purdy base and Purdy autos, no Purdy patch autos. But if there's zero Purdy base and zero Purdy autographs, I'm like a B minus. Yeah, him coming in there probably brings it to an A minus, though, just because of the cost. People get so caught up in like these premium brands and all this other crap, Spectra, Flawless, all that's great. This is a couple hundred bucks a box. Those other ones are huge money. I like the fact that we can get some cheap football, but I do need to see the Purdy factor in there, or else it's not going to be Purdy for that product. See what I did there?
Hey, that's sure my joke.
All right, a couple of questions. Let's get out of here.
All right, let's go.
I have a bad attitude today. I'm tired. I don't want to be here. I apologize.
No, hey, listen, you've been doing really...
I'm sorry, okay. I said I was rooting for the VAR. I'm rooting for you.
What? Shut up, Mike. I'm going to give you a hug
50-50.
While I have the virus. No, not virus, beer. Mailbag, Joshua Richards wants to know, would you rather get punched in the gut by Mike Tyson or get speared by Ray Lewis?
Speared by Ray Lewis. Tyson kill you.
By the way, what is speared?
Like
is
that a tackle, a type like of punch? The spear tackle.
Oh, geez. Okay. Yeah, Tyson would kill me for sure. Yeah. Yep. So whatever the other option is. Let's go to
Adam. Good way to Adam. Start the mailbag. Nice.
nice nonsense question for us. Adam Bass, not soccer, but with the Nuggets in line for the top seed in the West, is there anyone to buy besides Joker?
I still think Jamal Murray could have some phenomenal upside in the playoffs. We've seen him do that. He is a primetime legit scorer. And especially now the fact that Joker attracts all this extra attention. Like Murray could legitimately. And I just don't think the West is full of like a bunch of good wing defenders that are going to compete with Murray. Like it wouldn't be shocking if he does what he did a couple years ago and comes out and puts up 40 or 50 in a couple games. So yeah, Jamal's the guy. If you're not going Joker.
I was going to say, like, we do need maybe on Thursday to really pull up some pricing on some of these guys because Joker is number one in PER. He has been for almost the majority of the season.
I was ready to talk basketball when Bill came. He texted me and said he's coming on a Monday in January. And guess what? Last Monday in January. Guess who's not here?
There's still a few minutes left.
Nope,
you don't
I
know.
Don't want. Nope. Carlos, don't let him
in. Don't let him in. All right. Let's go to back to Jeremy Byers' question that he wanted me to read in Jason's accent, which I'm not going to do. What do we think is the best storyline going into this next season of baseball, if there even is one?
I think it's the Padres as a team, or where does Otani/Trout go? Do either one of those guys move? And then the Padres, do they get it together at some point and have this incredible, like ridiculously good lineup? Those are the two I'm interested in.
Can Trout stay healthy a full season? I don't think I've ever seen that happen. Matt Scholes. Just a comment, he says, I have to respectfully disagree on the packing. We talked about this, I think, a week or two ago. Painter's tape across top loader is still necessary with a team bag. I constantly cut cards that are sticking partway out of the top loader despite being in a sealed team bag. Your comment.
Well, hang on. If the card is coming out of the top loader, they haven't used the... And he's saying when he gets cards. So this is not an indictment on Matt. Your shipper is a dummy. Put the card in the correct size top loader. Put the team bag around it. If you have to use tape at all, tape on the outside of the team bag. I don't want tape on top loaders. It's not necessary.
I think there's a world where you're both correct, because to people's defense, they came saying the exact same thing you said. Well, if it isn't a correct top loader, then they shouldn't need it. He goes on to say, well, the people shipping me my cards aren't using that.
So tape on the outside of the team bag. It doesn't have to be on the top loader.
All right, there you go. Let's go to...
I'm very passionate about this. Don't try to argue with me, Jesse.
No, I would never. Richie Livret wants to know, Mike, when can we expect to see your results? And that was a purposeful bleep. There you go, Mike. Take it from there.
So Jesse bleeped the entire thing. He asked about a grading result from a certain company. Everybody well knows I grade with SGC. I think they're the best, hands down, best service, turnaround time, pricing, all that stuff. Another grading company decided to spam the group like crazy recently, and so I called them out. I am not going to be dropping their name. I don't know. If you have a business, like, just do things the right way. I don't think spamming Facebook groups is the right way to do this. If you want to come and spam the 55,000 members we have, just shoot me or Jesse a message. Hey, would love to talk to you about this. Now, granted, it's grading. I would have said no, but it's a better look than me calling you out. And here's another thing, too. For the clowns in the group who are like, oh, you know, you're actually bringing good attention. Any publicity is good attention. Any attention is good attention. That is the dumbest take in the history of any business ever. That is not true. There are plenty of terrible things that happen and get talked of, and people, maybe they're aware of it now because it's being spoken of. It doesn't mean they're going to use the service. This is the stupid. If I go out and say, hey, this seller is a total piece of garbage. He rips people off. He's a scam. Here's his eBay ID. All these terrible things about him. I just made more people aware of him. Do you think that increased his sales? Of course not, you dummy. I'm bringing it out for a negative reason. So the people in that group, like in that thread that I started yesterday, the most engaged post of the whole stinking month, use your brain. I guarantee, though, you could put a finger in each ear, touch in the middle, absolutely no pink substance at all for the people arguing that point. There's nothing there. Hollow as the day is long, my friends. You wanted fired up, Mike? You got fired up, Mike.
From a comment about the grading company to an attack on the people commenting on it. That's okay. You're passionate.
I don't think I like any of that. I don't like the grading company. I don't like the people who support them. I don't like the people who market for them. I don't like anything about it. Don't message me on Facebook either. Leave me alone.
Nat Thorpe wants to know if you could create any sports card product from your own brain, as opposed to someone else's brain, I guess. What would it consist of? Would it resemble a mid-90s awesomeness?
Oh, yeah. So here's what I would want, like, the flawless finish for patches and patch autos. Like, they're really high-end, nice-looking stuff.
Okay.
A lot of multi, two, three-player autos when there's a connection. I can't stand three-player autos when one doesn't fit. So, like, Bird, McHale, Parrish, Bird and Magic, you know, Jeter and Griffey, stuff like that. I would love that. It would be multi-sport because I think that's awesome. And it would have the 90s look of best and finest for inserts and refractors and die cuts.
Are you going to create this card?
It's none of your business.
Now you've gotten us all teased. Let's go on. Adam, I think this question's been asked before. Adam, oh man, Celluril. How do you pronounce Adam's last Celluril. Name?
Yeah, this is the dude who helps Eddie.
Yeah. No, I've talked to him a lot, but I just never knew how to pronounce his last name. He just wants to know who's the greatest Seinfeld cameo. I think I've said this before, but my take is Whatley, the dentist.
That's not a cameo, though. He's in like 15 episodes.
No, I think he's literally in like five or less.
I don't know about that. Keith Hernandez.
You think he's in
good.
More?
I saw the Keith Hernandez one recently. It's a good one.
he played himself. I guess that's a fine
cameo. It was pretty funny, though.
I like this question from Hayes Chandler Hudson, a three namer, so you won't like it, but nope. Why the hobby hate for Panini Instant and Topps Now cards? They're definitively a much lower print count than the regular set cards, so to me should be more desirable.
I don't know if there's that much hobby hate or hobby anything towards them. They're two products most guys don't particularly have a ton of interest in, myself included. Yeah, I stick to the traditional brands and SKUs, I guess. I don't know. But I don't hate those by any means. I also don't like products that are printed to order. There is no scarcity.
Yeah, I think I think that's my overall issue.
But I don't hate them. I think that keeps the price in check. I think they're fine.
Another
bad take by a three-namer. That's the issue here.
No. We found this before, is that there are sometimes where there's not a logical answer to things. It's just what guys like.
Oh, correct.
And if guys don't like it, then there's no value. Whether the science makes sense or not.
Yeah, why does a gold refractor number to 50 outsell a gold wave refractor number to 50 3-1? No, there's no reason to it. Of course.
Yeah.
A lot of it's like that.
Let's see. No, we're not going to do that one. That's another question. For Mike, so I didn't ask this one when Jason was on. John Boren wants to know, do you see soccer overtaking hockey as the fourth most popular sport for the hobby? Would you say?
It probably already is.
I was going to say, like,
I would say worldwide market. I bet soccer far outsells hockey.
I mean, granted, there's a huge market in Canada and I'm sure a few other Arctic countries, but man, yeah, I can't think of where hockey cards are going off the shelves. Like I don't, there's not like,
well,
they're a
also
hockey
not
card
made a lot. Like Upper Deck has the exclusive stuff with it. So
yeah,
I would say right now though, I think soccer, honestly, I wonder if F1 outsells. Like if you were to ask me just total revenue of boxes and cases sold, baseball, basketball, football, no question. I bet soccer beats hockey. I'd be curious if F1 beats it as well now in 2022, 2023.
I would love to see if there's a way we can find out which one is more popular. I
wonder. Ask
if,
Google.
Hey, Google. Oh, it picked it up. No, never. Cancel. All right. Next question comes from.
Okay, and, stopping living room.
There's
surround.
Google. Thank you.
Sorry, something went wrong for the living room surround.
A lot of things have gone wrong, sweetheart. Just let us move on to the show here, okay?
You got to keep that in, Carl.
Next question.
Andrew Kahn wants to know, how about them Eagles? Unfortunately, I think we already got your take. You are not pro-Eagles.
I am. I'm happy they won. I didn't think they would. I'm glad they won. I like to see new blood, and I like Jalen Hurts.
I can't wait
to see them win. Most atrocious home fan base of all time, though. I mean, they literally throw bottles at each other because they're dummies, and then they just pelt opposing fans with snowballs relentlessly. Philly is atrocious. Team, I'm happy for.
God, I love how you like just Andrew go Connor after people.
Nobody argues with that. They booed Santa Claus a few years ago.
Did they boo Santa
Claus? Yeah, that's come funny on. No one cares. Yeah, no. Eric King is at home running around in a stinking Ron Jaworski jersey from the 80s right now, yelling, "Fly, Eagles, fly." So that his family knows that the team won. Like, that's what we're dealing with here.
People are wondering.
He's supposed to be counting numbers, and he's doing that. What do you want me to do here?
Eric King is a personal.
No. We're not. No, absolutely not. It's an inside joke. It's nobody's business.
Well, speaking of Eric King, Kyle Ailey, maybe? He says, not a question, but just saw your commercial. He says, for the Card Life.
Okay.
It's Card Shop Live is the name of the app, but that's okay, Kyle. We appreciate it nonetheless. He says, very well done. I think it summarizes the podcast and the sports boy Geo relationship perfectly. You know what I realized? I don't think we've ever played the audio. It's only like 27 seconds long. I want to play it. I think people will find this pretty funny, even though you can't see it. If you want to see it, go to our YouTube page and it's like the last video we uploaded. But do you care, Michael?
Right now?
Yeah,
oh, you have
it's
it ready like 20
seconds. Yeah, yeah, it's ready. I queued it after I saw that question.
Might be your last chance with you being sick. Go ahead and play it.
Dear Lord. Here we go.
Mike, check out this new app I found.
What is it, Jesse?
It's Card Shop Live. It's got live video shopping for the latest sports cards and collectibles. And it even has live auctions. I just won a Michael Jordan rookie card.
How does it feel to be a winner?
It feels amazing.
Wake up, sweetheart. We got work to do. Oh, I
forgot. Yeah, honest sellers, authentic collectibles, trusted community. Card Shop Live.
It's tough without the video. You need the video of me slapping Jesse. That is what makes the whole thing.
I think just the fact that people heard that is like the trailer to see the 30-second video.
All right, one more question. Let me get out.
Yeah, that's a pretty entertaining. I didn't realize how funny that sounds. You don't even have to watch it. Just funny how so. Johnny F. Now, you may have already chosen this, Mike, but he wants to know, who's your donkey of the week? It's Monday. You know, it's hard to say.
It's LeBron. I mean, when does the week start? That's the tough thing. Like in the last week, LeBron, that stunt about falling down his knees and whining about the call, it's tough. The Bengals guy last night hitting Mahomes when he's in the second row of the stands already, pretty tough.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Shanahan still not knowing how to coach in a big game, not great.
Anybody in your personal life?
None of your business. What are you trying to do? No, I don't think so.
Oh, good, good, good. All right, I think we have like one more question.
All right, let's go.
Eric, my money, please. Is there certain items or products, I think he meant to say are there certain items or products that you shouldn't use a consignor for? That's an interesting question.
I mean, it just depends. Like consignment stuff on eBay, I don't know that there's many limits to it. I think you kind of just use, like eBay has such a crazy big market and so many eyes on it constantly. I think you can sell just about anything there. Honestly, I think that's why I think it's so good. Because there's some things I can sell better live on Card Shop Live on a live show, but there's a lot of other things I wouldn't even try to because I just know these are going to do better on eBay through a consigner. So, I don't think so.
Well, you've mentioned that before, like where we would send stuff to like 5-star cards or PC sports cards or something like that. The consigners we use is that the fact that they have more eyes and that they overall typically pay less fees than you're going to pay, and therefore they're going to charge you a total net fee that's less than what you would have paid.
Or the same, right? Or the same. Yeah, but so
why
what?
Wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, exactly. So why wouldn't you? Exactly. I'd rather have it on the shelf at Walmart and pay a little bit higher fee than in a garage sale. You know, maybe I can get, maybe I can sell it, but I'm not going to get the eyes. I'm not going to bring the premium and price that it's supposed to get. What a useless analogy, by the way. So yeah, in general, I think eBay consignment is very effective for a wide variety of stuff.
The speed, maybe that's I'm literally trying to think of like
I mean that's why a huge you would thing, do that. Right? When I get a card back from a new product, I can grade it directly and sell it live that night. That's a huge advantage over a 7-day auction. If an event happens, I mean, the night Trevor Lawrence came back against the Chargers, I was live, and as soon as he won, I was like, dude, we're doing this now just to be a total scumbag. I'm selling my Trevor Lawrence rookies. Sold them live that moment. Obviously, they sold for a lot higher than if you put them in an auction, you know. There's no return policy. Like guys buying Brock Purdy 4 days ago, it's been flooded. We've seen this all over Instagram and Twitter of, hey, I sold this Brock Purdy and they lost yesterday. All of a sudden there's a return claiming damage. So there's reasons not to, but yeah. In general, I think it's a very good move. Yes.
I do think, I think if it's in a 24 to maybe 72 hour period, but even I think both the consigners that we use all advertise in a week or less in a lot of cases, they'll have your cards up on the site for sale. So unless it's a much smaller window, then consigning is a win. All right, Mike, I have an idea for our next show. I'm going to try and get this set up, but I want to go buy a Walmart and or Target. I want to take a picture of what is there for sale. And I would like you to tell us, the audience, what is worth purchasing. Because my brother called me last week or over the weekend, I think while you were out of town, and he was wanting to know what here is something that I would like I should buy for a potential return in value. And I remember multiple times before we ever started doing this, calling you and doing the same with you. Like, hey, here's a picture. Can you tell me, is there anything here worth buying? I think that'd be cool. Okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a cool little 5-minute thing. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, nice. All right, there's your show.
Cool. Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. We'll be back on Thursday. Goodbye.
Bye.